You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today's Thursday, October 27th, and we're back with you like we always are.
Always and forever.
We would be here all day, every day for you.
Yes.
But we have to live a life as well. We can't sit around bullshit all day. You know?
I can, actually, yeah, which is right? Terribly sad. I could.
Wow.
Yeah.
So today we have a great show for you. We have a good friend of yours, Tori.
Oh, yes. One of my favorite people in the whole wide world.
That's cool. Oh, so yes. She must be good because Tori has good taste in people.
I do.
And so we'll bring her in a few minutes and we'll talk about that. A couple of things about yesterday. We did have a cool show yesterday.
Yeah.
Right?
Awesome.
And we'll get to that in a moment. But you know what? So listen to this. We have a show here that comes on Wednesdays at 1 by the Jacksons. Mm-hmm. Like, these are like a Jackson trio. Mm-hmm. They're the son of, I don't know if Tito or one of the sons.
Okay, because that's going to be hard. If you're not part of it, you're Jackson 3. And you're
right.
Not,
yeah. No. So, and they're not really, they don't have like a band like the Jackson 5 or anything. But their mother was murdered and they started a foundation for grieving and things like that for survivors. So they have a show here, The Power of Love, and everything, and it's pretty cool. So first of all, I was invited to the Jackson home here in Encino for a Halloween fundraiser.
Wow.
That's pretty cool, right?
Very cool.
So I'm probably going to go, but the thing is, you know how sometimes you have like aha moments or like actually moments where you want to throw yourself out the window?
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, so what happened yesterday is I walked in right before they started their show to handle them a couple of pieces of paper. And so there's one boy sitting here with his back to me, and I didn't realize what's going on. I mean, I didn't really see. They were like a minute before they were starting, so I didn't have time to look or anything. I go downstairs. Casey said, you know, Michael's son is here.
That was Michael's son?
That was Prince.
Oh, my
Prince
God.
Prince Michael or whatever.
It wasn't Blanket. It was Prince.
Yeah.
Wowza.
Yeah.
Wowza.
And yeah, but he's a totally white boy.
Yeah, yeah. You haven't
seen?
I didn't
realize. No, I've never seen him grow up.
He doesn't at all look like Michael Jackson. He looks a lot like the blonde.
Like the mother, right?
The mother.
Yeah.
Blanket and Prince. And yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
Right. So he was right here. So I'm very proud to say we have Major Jackson.
There you go. There you go. You might not have seen him, but they were there.
But they are a big family. I mean, in fact, a few years ago, there were other Jacksons doing a show with us as well.
Oh, yeah. They're very large, and they've taken in Prince and Blanket in a wonderful way.
Yeah?
Yeah, the whole family has embraced them.
The other one's called Blanket?
Yeah. The young one.
Didn't they make it up or something?
No, that was his nickname, but that's what people call him.
Okay.
I think that's right. I'm an asshole. No, but yeah, the one he lifted over the thingy.
Yeah. But they probably gave him the name Blanket.
He was always, I think that was his nickname and became his name. And I think he always had a blanket on his face. I'm making up like a lot of things right now, I feel like.
That's true. They would cover them with blankets and stuff so people wouldn't see their face.
Yeah, and they'd wear masquerade masks. I mean, that was a really, really hard life.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, I mean, I came here and I saw the listenership just exploded.
I'm
you know,
sure.
Melted our servers.
Yes.
You know, but
what about our show? How'd we do? Yeah,
we're not that close. We're not Jacksons yet. Maybe in the next life.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna do my best to go to the party and then report how it was.
Very
you know?
Cool. Very
but
cool.
I gotta tell you, I can't bring myself to put on a costume.
I was wondering if you could do that.
They're saying, you know, they really encourage you, encourage you. And of course they do, because it's a Halloween party and they want everybody to be in costume.
Sure.
But it doesn't mean you have to. And like I said, I feel very stupid in a costume. And like I said, you know, I mean, it is. It started as a kid's holiday. I totally respect that adults like it, but I can't get into a costume.
Yeah. Okay. So if anyone asks, just be like, I'm cool.
Yeah.
I'm playing maybe, a clown.
Maybe, you know, maybe the you do like the minimum thing.
Yeah,
you,
like fa- put face it. On your, put book on your face in your Facebook.
Right.
That's, I've seen that. Like, I think Jim did that in The Office. It's so easy. It's really? Like the hipster lazy way of doing it. Just put the word book on your face in your Facebook.
Whoa.
So much easier.
That's true, yeah. Well, just, you know, put on a couple of, like, dress up like Michael Jackson.
No, I was going to say, that's got to be super uncomfortable.
Is that going to be, like, the worst taste
God,
ever?
God, I can't imagine if people came as not
Michael
good.
Jackson.
Everyone's
right?
like, beep, beep, get him out of there.
But they do have, like, security. They have,
oh,
they have like, a
security.
List and everything.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see. I'm debating whether to take Uber there rather than park.
I think
although
you,
they're taking care of the parking, there's probably like valet. Or
yeah,
something.
I'm pretty sure if you show up to the Jacksons, there's
yeah,
valet.
They'll take
but
care.
Yeah, but Uber might be easier because it might be like confused. I don't know.
Yeah, they're saying bring come with an Uber so you can drink and
yeah,
and enjoy
exactly.
Yourself. Yeah,
have some Jesus
enjoy.
Juice. Is
what
that what they
say? Magical potions or
yeah, Jesus juice?
Yeah.
Oh Lord, there's a story that came out yesterday that. Michael Jackson used to ask for his wine to be put into Diet Coke cans on planes so people didn't know he was drinking them.
Oh, really?
Or his kids, yeah. Why am I talking about this? Who cares? He was
yeah,
a great
that's
musician.
True, but you know
kind of creepy, but, no,
but
God bless him.
Because everybody wants to know. I mean, if
right.
we worship someone like that, we want to
know
about them,
I know.
Right?
Brilliant, brilliant musician, dancer,
yeah.
all of that. Kind of creepy. Not sure what happened behind closed doors, but liked his music.
Exactly. He was the king. He's still the king of pop.
Always
you know?
Will be.
Yeah. So it'll be nice to rub elbows with his family, I'm
yeah.
sure. We'll see who's going to be there.
Yeah.
Maybe Janet will be.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Jermaine, I'm sure they're
LaToya's
all going to be there,
LaToya's just
right?
going to show up. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, they're all going to be there. It's a family. So that's cool. Yeah, and I always knew they live out here in Encino. They have
yes.
a nice house south of the boulevard. So, and then one more thing is the guest we had yesterday. Whoops. Are you hearing this?
Yeah.
Okay, let me just fix this here. Okay, there we go. Something's going on with the cables here.
Yeah.
Let me just try to fix it real quick. I don't know. It's sort of like having to just move the cables, you know.
All right, that
okay,
worked.
Okay, we're good.
That's like when you used to hit your Nintendo.
Right.
And be like, and yeah, that's it, and blow into it. It works now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and just like I said, all the boogeymen come at night, and then in the morning we come in here,
it's all
and all
up.
These things are happening,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what's going on. But at any rate, so we had the Australian Playboy here yesterday.
Yeah, that was awesome.
He came with five. Okay, we're still having this problem here. It's making me crazy. Hold on. Okay, so he came in with his five girlfriends. One of them turned out to be his wife.
I did not know his wife was in the room until
right.
halfway through the interview.
Right, I didn't either.
Because some other chick is kissing him, and I was like, oh,
right?
that's nice. Oh,
yeah,
yeah,
she's kissing him. And then another girl was like constantly rubbing his hand and
yeah.
all this stuff. And I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah, very
so,
interesting.
So you guys have to catch the show from yesterday. We can't really explain that
It was very
much.
Inspiring. And as a feminist, I was actually really... I was very happy with the whole thing. They have a very happy setup.
That's true. Although
She's
you have
into
to
girls
remember.
And-
yeah, but you know what? We also have to go a little below the surface story. And we have to, if he wants to compare himself to Hugh Hefner, I have no doubt in my mind they are each making a salary or something. If they're
oh,
with him around the
yeah.
clock. Right?
I don't think
so
they're
employees
just
more
out.
Than anything.
Yeah. Telling them what to wear, how to,
right.
They had to be in makeup. They had to be, yeah. This
and
is
they
a,
always match with their clothes.
They always
and
match.
Everything.
And he picks out those outfits. So
right.
this is a business plan. I
right.
mean, this is part of his brand.
Exactly.
He shows up
so,
like, it's like, what's her name? Gwen Stefani with her Harajuku girls. Like, this is part of his look, and TMZ will stop him because there's five gorgeous women walking by, and that's his
right.
purpose.
Yeah, exactly his
but,
purpose.
But you know what? Good for them. They're good money. They're having a good time.
Exactly. You know, and that's the thing. It's so...
cool. It's all fine.
Yeah, and, you know, no judgment there,
right.
but, you know, everybody does. But not everything is what it appears to be. You know, I can't imagine five girls would fight for a man like this. In that way, you know, I don't know. Do you think?
Well, he's very wealthy.
Yeah.
I think
he's attractive.
And he's very attractive. I think
right.
it's fighting maybe for a position in that life. I mean, they get to go to, you know, L.A. and they're being taken around on buses and
right.
paparazzi. So that's a lot. That's very
exciting.
But I think
we have
to
agree, without the money, none of this would happen, right? I mean, do you think he'd still have five girls following following him like this? I mean, the whole point is, if you saw on his Instagram and stuff, it's all these glamour shots, yeah, and boats and
yeah, a lot of it is like a music video. It's all just a setup. It's right. all a brand. And when I said that out loud, he kind of winked at me, and it was like, first of all, am I being asked to be part of that entourage with that wink? And yes, I do accept. But also, yeah, this is, he is incredibly entrepreneurial minded. Right. I mean, right. everything was planned to a T. So yeah, I think this is part of the plan. I don't think they have a heart. I maybe they do, but I didn't. Yeah. I don't. I wouldn't think so. It's more of a business situation,
right? Exactly, and that's what I think. And if they have some sex and stuff in the meantime,
it doesn't hurt anybody.
Exactly.
Yeah, he has a bed of three kings put together with a stripper pole and a fog machine and lights. So it's basically 1985.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you get to live the life that almost everybody would like to have. Yes. You know? But so you're right. You know, he built the brand.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I'm going to kill this cable in a minute, I'm telling you.
You're okay, cable guys. Yeah, back
it up. I can't believe this, that I just discovered that the cable is loose and I'm having to move it just to get the right, and it sounds so, like, pathetic. But no, I mean, everything here gets replaced right away, so no worries. So that was the story from yesterday, right? So let's go ahead and introduce your friend, Tori.
Yes.
Today you get to introduce the Ooh-hoo! Guest because you know her better than I do.
I do. So she's one of my favorite people in the world, one of the funniest people I've ever met, and one of the very kindest people I've ever met. It's a comic and an entrepreneur and just an all-around badass, nasty woman, Samantha Hale.
Samantha, Hello! Welcome to the show.
Wait, you said kindest.
And you know what? We never applaud anybody.
It's true.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you go said ahead. Kindest. Am I in the wrong room?
Yeah, right. Get the fuck out of here.
She said very kindest.
She helped me in a time when I was very low, at a moment where I needed a friend, and she was right there.
Wow.
And I always will be.
Always will be.
Wow, thank you for being a friend. I think that's Michael Jackson in The Machine, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's not so happy.
Right? That's probably what it is.
Or it's LaToya trying to get attention.
LaToya's always trying to get attention.
Oh, girl.
That's true. She is, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's funny. She used to come on the Howard Stern show all the time and stuff. So
she had this voice, right?
And she still does.
She has a twang.
She does. Oh, I know. Yeah. Somehow she has a twang. But she does dress a little more country.
A little
right,
bit.
A little more of the vest with the cowboy hat.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Right?
Well, that
that's
was a
more
period
like cowboy
in her life,
Vegas.
Wasn't it?
True.
Yeah, it's very cowboy
that
Vegas.
That was a period in her life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Very true.
But you know what? You could totally be for Halloween. I did this a couple years ago. I gave myself a black eye and put a pea on my T-shirt.
Wait, let me get it.
Popeye? Black Eyed Peas.
Ah, that's very funny. Oh. That's very funny. That's very funny.
Popeye?
That's very funny.
I didn't say a can of spinach.
I like that. I'm like, and also, why does Popeye have a black
eye?
Yeah,
exactly. Only sometimes.
I totally
you know.
Only sometimes. That's very clever. That's very clever.
Whoa. Oh, man.
I like those pun ones.
Uh-huh.
I like those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Except you might look weird, you know, dressing like that. I don't know. You know, it might be like,
I always worry with a woman with a black eye. I'd go up to her and be like, you need help?
Yeah.
Do you need a safe house?
Just wink with your good eye.
Yeah, yeah. Are you being held against your will, pee?
Black eye pee.
That's very funny.
So what, like actual urine? Or did you mean like peas like the vegetable?
No, just the letter pee.
Oh, the letter
pee.
Yeah,
he took it to the next
level.
Wow.
Yeah, there's no urine involved.
You're thinking pee. I'm like thinking, okay, she put a bag of pee.
No. Just the letter.
That would be like an amazing
I'd be so confused. Someone with a black eye and urine around their head. That makes no sense.
Yes.
And then you're like, black eyed pee, and you're like, get out of my face.
Yeah, right?
So uncomfortable.
Oh, wow.
Super uncomfortable.
I love
it. But that's what I got out of it. So you see, everybody can translate it differently.
I like it.
You know?
It's an artistic piece.
It's a darker way to go.
Yeah.
Darker way to go.
There you go.
Yeah. It's not dark to piss in a bag and take it around with you. What's dark about it?
It's a lot.
It's just stupid.
It's very weird.
I was actually just listening to Michael Jackson yesterday. My friend gave me a bunch of old CDs that he didn't want anymore. So he gave me the History one, which is the double CD.
Oh, dang.
Yes.
And on the back of it, I saw theme from Free Willy. I was like, oh my
of
god
course.
I love Free Willy,
of course.
And so I put it on and the lyrics were, have you seen my childhood, and I'm like, well, that's a little on the nose.
Yeah, right?
I mean, little nose on the nose, you get what I'm going there. But and then
four
I
different
realized
noses.
Yeah, and I realized that I was like, oh man, this is the song from Free Willy 2.
Oh, no one
so
wants
disappointed.
That one.
Nobody cares about 2.
I don't care about Willy 2. Willy 1 is all we care about.
Right,
that's all we care about.
Right. Like,
there you go. So,
totally.
Well,
I love that song, though. And I bought the cassette. Good? That's how old I am just for that song.
Me, too. We're the same age. Oh, yeah. Don't speak.
I won't say it. We are 18 years old.
We are 18. I just turned 21, you guys. I had my first legal drink.
Can't stop laughing.
I know.
So Samantha's beautiful. You got tattoos on your arm as well.
She's a badass.
A badass comedian.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that's what you do. That's what you like to go by. I'm a comedian.
Badass comedian. Yeah. It's badass actually comedian. In my writer. Must have badass before comedian.
But you do present yourself as a comedian. And so that's what you do mainly in your life, right? Do you need to also have a regular job, or does this pretty much pay the bill for you now?
Oh, he said bills with comedy. That's a good one. You know what? I'm working on it. I've waited tables for 12 years, and I actually used to work right up the street from here, and we closed in January. And so since that happened, I've been doing comedy full time.
Good for you.
Wow, nice, nice.
Which is
so
a hustle.
You're committed
yes,
to
she
it.
Is.
Yeah, it's a great diet plan. I don't eat much.
You look great.
Thank you, girl. I know, right?
You do.
I know.
She also is a booker, and she has a great show at Mickey's at WeHo.
I do.
And it's free, and it's like the best stage ever. I perform there. It's fantastic, and it's one of the best, I think, shows you can get. The comedy there is fantastic.
See?
Ruthless People, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Ruthless People is named after one of my favorite Bette Midler movies. And I work in a gay bar, so it has to be a Bette Midler
movie. It's amazing.
But we are followed by a drag show, Showgirls, every Monday at 10:30. We're at 7 o'clock, and so our stage is literally a runway.
It's amazing.
It's with a runway. We have a sparkly curtain and disco, and it's super fun.
Someone made a joke once. He was this gay guy who was like, "This looks like my birthday party. It was all gay and no one showed up."
It was so funny. Exactly.
But it's a great stage to be on, because you feel it's, and you're right at the audience. It's a lovely place to perform.
Yeah, and West Hollywood is fun too.
Oh, yeah.
So fun.
Yeah. So do you usually perform at the like the usual suspects here, like the Comedy Store?
Sure, Comedy Store, Flappers in Burbank, Improv, and whatever laundromat will have me.
Yep.
You know, I mean, there's so many
it's
shows.
It's got to be so hard to really stand out, right, in comedy. I mean, it's so competitive.
Yeah, it is. I mean, but the thing that I love about comedy, about stand-up, is that it doesn't matter how pretty you are, who you know, what you look like. If you're not funny, you're not funny.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so that's what I love about stand-up is it's all on you. You're the writer, the director, the lighting guy, the tech guy. If the mic breaks, you're everything.
All the attention is on you.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. You can't blame any soul.
No,
but
it's
you.
All you.
Yeah.
But you get all the credit
and
the joke.
Yeah, if you kill, you do great.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
True.
There you go.
But
obviously, there's a good reward for it, or you wouldn't do it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Wow.
But she's a comic that sometimes she'll go to the line and cross it, and everyone's like, oh. And then she'll cross it even more, and you're like, oh, she's awesome.
I know. It's, yeah, you know, I think one of my favorites is Anthony Jeselnik. I don't know, T, you know him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's they call him the Dark Prince of Comedy. And so it's just kind of like you take the most difficult subject matter, if you will, and find the darkness in it, and then shed some light by making fun of it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So now, what, for example, would be crossing the line? I mean, you brought this up. Now I'm curious.
I don't do it because I'm scared. I'm a pussy. I will openly admit it. I can't do it.
But what do you talk? What would they talk about, for example?
Like women, or a racial issue, or stereotypes on people.
So charged stuff.
Oh yeah,
really
yeah. And she'll go
stuff.
There.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. Yeah. I have a joke, and it works so well in LA, and then I did it. I did a feature week in Kentucky, in Louisville.
It didn't go
not
so
too well. Long ago, and it bombed so hard that literally a woman in the back, there was dead silence, and then this woman was like, "Girl, you tripping?" Okay, but it's funny. Okay, so the joke is
very interesting though that you have to know your audience.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, absolutely.
You can't do the same routine in every place.
Yeah, no, you have to know your audience, and you have to know how they see you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because Kentucky,
really
they're not
important.
In LA, a strong female comic with tattoos is awesome, and I see it every day. In Kentucky, that's probably a rare thing.
You might stand out.
Yeah, you might stand out.
Yeah, I mean, granted, it was Louisville, which is kind of like they call it the Portland of the Midwest, which is nice. So it's definitely a more liberal city. But yeah, I mean, you have to be careful. And I actually find, believe it or not, that some of the most, at least for my material, challenging audiences are wealthy white people.
Me too.
Yeah.
Preppy wasps. Don't
Preppy
get my
wasps,
jokes. They don't like me.
They get offended on behalf of other people.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
What?
I can't
but
do it.
But you see, that's what happened to the society, I'm telling you, with this political correctness.
Absolutely.
You know
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People don't know how to behave anymore. What they can say, what they can't say.
Right.
right? And your job is to make fun of that, though.
It's the best.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so tell us what the joke was.
Well, like, so this joke in particular, it's a joke about how, because, you know, I hang out, all of my friends are comics and drag queens, which means my jokes are funny, my makeup's on point, and I'm going to die alone, which is totally fine. But so I have to go out of my way to go to straight bars now. I've become, like, the token straight girl in, like, a world of incredible gay performers, and I just, I don't know, I love them all. Anyway, but so I forced myself to go to a straight bar the other day, and I'm like, I'm going to meet someone, I'm going to really put myself out there. Talking to this guy, and it went so well. We talked all night, and then at the end of the night, he turns to me. He was like, "Sam, you're great. You really are. I like you a lot, but I got to be honest. I really prefer Latin women." And I was like, "Oh, perfecto. I hate birth control." And so normally that's like the response I'm looking for, you know, right. But sometimes people get really offended.
I've seen people, right.
And when they get really offended, I'm like, oh my God, you guys, I'm so sorry that came out wrong. Let me rephrase that.
Oh,
no me gusta birth control. So it's kind of like, oh, you didn't like that? Well, then get on board for this.
That's right. Exactly. That's what I mean when she goes to the line, you're like, man. And then she crosses it even more. When you're offended, she'll be like, all right, what? It's great.
Yeah, that's the thing though, but that's what comedy is about, right?
Yeah.
You can't be politically correct in comedy.
Yeah.
You have to expose society.
Why are you
real.
Watching me if you're not interested in something of a viewpoint you haven't thought of?
Right? Yeah, you
like,
know.
And,
so.
Yeah, and the way no me gusta.
Yeah, like, you know. I mean, and I've gotten into it with some people, and I'm just like, you know what? Sense of humor. There's no right or wrong. Like what I think is funny, you might not, and that doesn't mean I'm wrong or you're wrong.
Exactly.
So just go with it.
Exactly.
And in a comedic context, I think there's nothing wrong with it. You know, I mean. You're not gonna walk into like a room full of black people and shout racial things,
right?
But in the right context in comedy and everything, you probably could get away with it with a black audience too.
Well, you know what? Mm-hmm. Actually, back to the Louisville thing, I think it was a group of African American people. It was like a birthday party or something, and they just hated me.
Yeah, right.
because of the stuff that they just weren't into me. But then I was like, okay, well, you know what? This is a risk. I'm just gonna try it. I'm gonna go for it. And if they like it, they're gonna like it. I cracked a Kim Kardashian
and they loved
getting fucked by black guys joke, and they loved it. They went off on me. They loved it so much that I started playing with this guy from the stage, and like I wound up like on stage inviting him back to my hotel room. And da, 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 da. That's how cool they were. And they all came up and were like the nicest. They were just all taking pictures and super cool.
That's
but it just
hilarious.
Took me pushing them. They didn't like, I guess maybe I made the mistake of trying to play it a little bit safe. You know, I should have just done what I wanted to do.
Just jump in.
Yeah, that's when they came on board. They're like, all right, she cool.
When you're genuine and authentic in your own style, like Sam's saying, that's when you connect, I think, the best.
Right.
And I think when, like, I do a lot of jokes about getting old and, like, go fuck yourself if you're 23.
Yeah.
And that resonates with a lot of women who are a little tipsy in the audience, maybe a little too much makeup. They feel a little old. And it's a very relatable situation. And that's my authentic feeling, you know. So it's like she hits the authentic point.
Well, that's the hardest thing in comedy is to find your point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Find what, like, jokes that I wrote when I first started, I didn't have the guts to do.
Right.
And now when I write, I'm like, that is so bad. This is great. You know? I'm going to piss people off with this.
Brave. Just very, very brave.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, I mean, I might have to give some credit to my incredible drag friends because they are some of the strongest, most confident people I've ever met. And they push me to be who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? I guess they would have to be by definition almost in order to be able to be accepted by society. They have to really accept themselves.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would be murder.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And comedy, you know, comedy is a non-traditional job as well. It's kind of, we live this different lifestyle. It's not normal.
Telling jokes to strangers.
No, you get up in a room full of strangers, say, hey, I'm going to tell you my deepest, darkest secrets and the weirdest things I do, and please laugh at me, because if you don't, I'm going to go home and cut myself.
For 4 minutes.
For 4 minutes.
It's very weird.
And then I'm going to write a joke about it, and then the cycle continues. But you know.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
It's almost like modern day court jester or something.
You know?
I mean, we're here to make you laugh,
you know? Absolutely. But there's something we get out of the high for our part is if I hear laughter, it's like,
oh, it's
I've died
high.
And gone to heaven.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
But my mother, like, for instance, my mother would never be able to do that. Like, my husband left for 9 days, and I, like, fell apart because I was scared to drive to CVS. But I can get up in front of a million people and tell jokes and be not scared at all. Right. So it's like everyone has an uphill battle somewhere in their background.
So, so you guys do everything together?
No, we just happen to like each other's style a lot.
Right.
I often find, and maybe this is what Sam was saying, is, like, when you're with a lot of comics and a lot of guys are there, sometimes you're kind of, the comics are into themselves or cliques. Mm-hmm. I find that it's not, like, when you're in theater, you're always together and it's a very group environment. It's very solo being a stand-up. So when you find that you connect with someone else,
you hold on.
Because it's not like they're warm and inviting. Comics have an angry, sad part of themselves, you know?
Yeah.
So when you find someone you kind of vibe with, you do not let go. So I just really appreciate her.
Yeah.
And I find that
who do you mean by her?
Sam.
Well, me, of course. Hello.
No, because I thought she was talking about her husband a moment ago.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I meant by asking if you guys do everything together.
Oh, me and my husband.
Yes.
But thank you for making it about me.
You're totally welcome.
Yes.
We are terribly uncomfortable.
I mean, like, you wouldn't go to CVS alone?
I used to be this very independent person. I went to Europe for a year by myself. But I like to be in a companion partnership. And that's just what I do best. So
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But it just so surprises me when you say you're afraid to go to CVS.
Yeah. I mean, it surprises a lot of people.
So good for you.
Oh, it's great for me. And good for me. It's terrifying, but it's what you're supposed to face those fears. But it's everyone's fear is different. Some people's fear is changing their cup of coffee in the morning. My fear is, like, not having my husband around me. But I'm learning.
Yeah.
I'm growing.
Good for you.
Thank you. My fear is not having my husband. That's it.
At all.
Period.
But that begs the question, why do you think you don't? I mean, do you want one at this point?
Oh, gosh.
That's a good question.
Many people don't have one because they don't want
that's
one.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, no. I grew up... maybe with the not the greatest male models in my life, role models in my life. So I think, I don't know. And I'm an only child. I don't have brothers and sisters. My parents split up when I was little. So, like, marriage to me never seemed like the beautiful princess fairy tale.
Right.
To me, it just seemed like a pain in the ass, to be honest, which is probably not a good thing.
No, it's probably true for a lot of people.
I don't know. Like, I remember when my parents told me that they were going to split up, and I was probably like 6 or 7 at the oldest, maybe. And I remember being like, Mommy, you sit on this side of the couch, and Daddy, you sit over here. Now, Mommy, how do you feel? Daddy, how do you feel? Like, I don't know what the hell kind of a child I was, but I did that, and obviously it didn't work. and then when my aunt got married, like, the next year, I remember right as she's in her room, just final touches, doing her makeup and her hair, about to walk down the aisle.
No.
I was like, Aunt Lana, now... marriage is a big commitment, and sometimes it doesn't work out. Are you sure that you want to do this? She doesn't speak to me anymore.
Yeah.
No, they're actually still together, which
good.
Is crazy.
That's very good.
But yeah, so I don't know. I grew up wanting to be Xena warrior princess and not the Little Mermaid. Like, I don't know.
You were that girl in the hot dog costume with that viral video. They all come dressed as princesses for the day dance, and one girl just came as a hot dog. You were that girl, yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And totally.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I mean, chances are I probably just haven't met the right guy.
Right. Now, did you grow up feeling pretty lonely, would you say? Even though you may have people around you, but I would imagine you may feel kind of abandoned, no, when your parents get divorced like
that? Yeah, I think so.
And an only child.
And young, too. So I think it made you... mature quickly. And
it did.
That's
I grew
how
up
were,
really fast.
And that's how you were able to give people that kind of advice, you know? I mean, God.
And very
it was
independent.
Your survival.
Yeah. Almost like too independent. I think I'm the opposite of you, Tori, where I'm afraid of being that close to somebody because
totally.
I don't want, I don't want to get hurt.
Right.
Like,
and
again, it's happened.
Exactly.
Right. But you're totally self-sufficient, which is cool, and you can do whatever you want.
It's like to me, that's like, how does she do it?
Like, but I'm like, how do you have such a hot husband who calls you back when you call him?
Yeah, right?
You know?
So everybody's envious of the other person.
The grass is always greener.
Well, here's the thing. Somebody told me once, and it always struck with me. It always stuck with me. We judge our insides by other people's outsides.
Which is so true.
So fabulous.
That's pretty cool. Makes sense.
Because I've always been like, when Brooks will come to every comedy show. He'll be, yeah. She sees me. He's there all the time. He doesn't miss a show.
Wow.
And so, like, I'm like, she just goes off and runs her own show.
Yeah,
like, to
right?
me, that's incredible.
Right.
So, yeah, it's interesting how we judge each other. Exactly. I judge myself so terribly on other people and what they have on the outside.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, wow. So, but I mean, that would make you, I would think, very attractive mm-hmm. to a big segment of men who like strong, independent
so.
Women, right?
I hope so.
So, but do you think, I mean, obviously you must have been in relationships and stuff, but they didn't turn into marriage. Is yeah. it because, do you think it was because of you or both or just the circumstances?
I think both. I think I definitely have had an attraction to, let's say, emotionally unavailable men in the past, which was a thing that, you know, as adults, we try to repair things from our childhood and
the pattern
we try to repair things, you know, as we get older with relationships. So that's what I was always attracted to. It was always like, oh, this guy's not ready, but I'm the only one
make him.
That's going to make him ready, which is the biggest bullshit thing I've ever, you know, that's a joke. That's
yeah,
my best
that
joke. That's my best joke, you guys. That's my big closer. But I've done a lot of, like, you know, soul searching and this and that, and I'm aware of this about myself, which is cool. So now when I see that, I run, you know, which is good.
Which is a better thing.
Yeah, which is a better thing. So, I don't know. I think it'll happen.
Hold on, I gotta interrupt the show. What kind of car do you have?
I have a Jeep Patriot.
Oh,
license
thank
plate.
Goodness.
Why is it?
Thank goodness.
Someone getting
Someone's
towed?
Blocking the owner of the building and they sent a tow truck.
Is it a Toyota Prius?
Yes.
That's mine.
That's you. Go get it.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay, Casey's waiting for you.
Oh, my gosh. Where's Brooks when you need him?
Silver Prius. Okay, I'll tell him you're coming down. Hold on a second. Okay, guys, hold on to the show for just a second because we have to take him. And I thought, oh, so you did block anyone. But, yeah, go quickly. Take the stairs even.
That's her cardio for the day.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, we'll continue. Let me just finish this text here. Okay, so Tori's coming down now. Okay. Yeah, we have the biggest asshole for an owner. When he blocked me for half an hour, I couldn't get out.
Serious.
He came down, and I just said to him, I said, that day, they didn't have the regular attendant. So it created a problem there. The replacement one didn't know what the hell to do with the cars.
Oh,
the owner didn't leave the keys. He had blocked me, did not leave the keys with anybody. I'm about to leave. I asked the guard, what's going on? He's like, let me go find it. He went to the entire building to find the owner for that car, right? We couldn't find him. 30 minutes later, he comes down. Okay, he says it's all good if it's hers. But she's coming down. Good, he'll help her with the car. But, yeah, when he's not there, you see, he wasn't there when Tori came, so so that creates a problem. So somebody
right.
needs to be there all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, isn't that your job? Like, you have one job, dude. Stay there.
Right, yeah. But Casey, we love him, you know, so we won't be mean to him because
okay.
he'll take care of your car.
Oh, I thought this was a new guy.
No, the new guy is like, no, look, they can be there all the time. So,
oh,
I mean, I understand.
Okay.
But Tori was running late and everything, and she had never parked here before. She didn't know the rules. But she parked in a space where I guess she blocked the owner. Now, the owner finally came down, and I said to him was, why do you think it's okay to block somebody?
Right. He can wait a half
for
hour.
For 30 minutes and make me miss my appointment.
Right.
Right? He's like, hey, who do you think? He's like, Hey, wait a minute, you know, and I said, so he's like, what suite are you in? And I told him, I said, come visit us sometimes. You know, I didn't know he was the owner,
yeah.
But I realized at that time that he was, because somebody had said, oh, I think it's the owner's car. So at any point, so the next day he tells the attendant, don't let him park here anymore. Because it's a visitor parking, yeah.
Oh.
We have our own parking underneath, but like two spaces. But this is for guests.
Right.
And he was saying, so he told him, you can't park here anymore. Okay. So this is the kind of person this is.
Jeez.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you block his spot, he'll call a tow truck.
Right, but it's totally fine if he blocks you.
So all I can say is this, is that you can go and fuck yourself, you know? That's all I can say.
What did I walk in on?
No, you walked in on the right moment.
Yeah, the guy that wanted to get you towed away, this is the one that I just told to go and fuck himself.
Oh, well, I wasn't blocking anyone.
No, no, so but you were in his spot.
I was in his spot.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
I know. Seriously.
Yeah, and I was just telling her about how he had blocked me at one point. And because I confronted him about it,
yeah.
I said, why do you think it's okay to block me like this? He's like, so he told Casey, don't let me park here
anymore. Oh, my God.
Because it's a visitor parking.
Ugh.
So that's the thing. So that's the kind of person you were dealing with. So good thing.
Thank you, Casey.
But yeah, there you go. There you
I wasn't blocking anyone.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, so we're back to this. This is funny, right? I mean, I have to like take text and answer it on the air.
This is live, in the moment.
That's
action.
Exactly right.
Right. You see, but this is where my iWatch, my Apple Watch, comes in handy. Oh. I don't have to pull out my watch. I just, on my phone. I just kind of look it up when it kind of like it does a little vibration on your.
What a Dick Tracy of you!
Right.
What a Dick Tracy of you.
Yeah, and I can actually talk on it too. As
a phone. That's great.
Yeah. So
that sounded
but,
like it was going to be really harsh, but then turn into a compliment. You're like, what a Dick Tracy of you.
Like, oh, way to,
that's a good
turn that around,
you, sir.
Exactly.
Dang.
Well, the spotlight's going back on Samantha Hale.
Yes,
you just joining us. Tori's very good friend.
Yes.
And always a pleasure. To meet friends of yours.
Of course, hilarious comic.
You're going to have to bring in your husband one time on the show.
No, he's very shy.
Really?
Very shy.
Wow.
Yeah. He's
that
behind
makes
the
sense,
scenes.
Though. I think like a lot of, you know, if there's one person in the relationship, like Zap going, the like, you know, crazy loud comic, and then there's just like the quiet, hot husband.
Totally.
Much,
yeah.
As he shouldn't. Men should be only speak when spoken to. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but it's very interesting because my grandfather was like that. My dad is like that. A lot of the men in our family like to watch.
That makes
this
sense.
Sounds really sexy, sexual. Watch their women. But I mean, like entertaining the crowd.
Yeah.
I don't mean.
Well, they should want to watch you too.
Let them
exactly.
I mean, that's a good husband.
It's true.
That's a healthy
They do like to watch. No, but I mean, it's interesting. I followed that pattern too, is I found someone who's much more common sense oriented, stable, calming, quiet, and I get to be crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he gets to ground you a little bit.
Yes.
And yeah. I can totally see that.
Mama
so
needs
good
to be grounded.
Yeah. I think that makes sense because, like, the two serious relationships that I've been in, they were both performers and it didn't work out because when you compete,
it's very hard.
You know, it's very hard. Egos are very
fragile. Exactly.
Yeah, very hard.
You know, you can't compete. But, you know, it's like when you're in acting. For example, and then you have like sex scenes and love scenes with the other one. The other person has to be pretty strong to be able to handle something like that. Mm-hmm. You know?
Oh, I had a boyfriend who was jealous of things that hadn't even happened yet.
Oh, the projector?
What if you have to do a love scene? What if? And he wanted to be a director.
How terrible is that, huh?
So called projection.
It's like you can't win with someone like
you
that.
You literally can't win because they will always, they will find a way for you to lose.
Completely.
Even if it's not true or grounded on anything.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So that didn't last.
No.
Yeah. So everybody, Samantha is eligible.
Yes.
I sure am. I have an ass on me, too.
Yes, she does.
Hey.
Can we take a look?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Do you promote it?
Good.
She's got a nice
yes,
ass.
Yes, the tush. The tush.
Tori, touch it.
Yes.
There we go.
This is happening right now.
There we go. Ass is like totally in right now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it seems to
Boobs
be.
Boobs are out.
Thank God.
I know. I have great boobs.
Well,
my ass.
Nice boobs. You both have nice boobs.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah,
but the
so
boobs
sweet.
Are not as cool no, now. It's the ass that is in.
That's interesting, right?
Very
Maybe
much
because
so.
Of Kim Kardashian. Who
oh,
knows?
Honey, of
the
course.
One good thing she did.
Seriously, I secretly adore that entire family, but I can't tell anyone that because they'll lose all respect.
Oh, you just did.
I know. I told everybody. I don't know what a secret is. But her ass is remarkable.
It is, right?
It's beautiful.
It's unusual.
Yeah. It's unusual.
An unusual shape to it.
Very unusual shape.
It's a rhombus, more of a trapezoid.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
More of a rhombi.
Yeah. Did we figure out, so she didn't actually get robbed.
She did. She did, and she's still been off, she hasn't been on social media, she hasn't been tweeting. Her assistant wrote a note saying she's taking time off. Some newspaper came out and said it was fake. They instantly sued and won. So anyone who tries to even say it's fake. They're suing to make a precedent. And she's just been highly traumatized.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I tried it. Kanye's out of money, so. I'm sorry. What?
I tried it. Yeah. No, she got gagged, man. She got put in zip ties and a ball gag.
Oh, that's not good.
No.
That's pretty traumatic.
Yeah. Right? Like, yeah. You know, we know she has an ugly cry and she's kind of a weird person, but you don't want a mother to be gagged, you know? That's
yeah,
not
no, you don't want anybody. You yeah. don't wish that on anyone, well, really.
Some
you know?
Comics.
Oh, God.
Oh, was it?
You said it.
Oh, was it?
Oh, you said it.
So Samantha, I mean, so you told us a little bit about growing up and everything. So when your parents divorced, who did you live with at the time?
I went back and forth.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
between
so.
Both. Did any of them remarry rather quickly?
No, neither no. one of them
really?
Did. Yeah, no.
Were you close with grandparents too?
Not really, to be honest.
Wow, you were really.
Yeah, it was just kind of like me and...
And the world.
Know, yeah.
Me and the, world.
The
yeah.
world, yeah.
And I was big on, like, I always had a million pets. I think my pets... what a lonely little child I was. Like, my pets were my friends. Like, I had turtles, fish, bird, dogs.
But you're not the only one. That's right. what I'm trying to say.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
you
no.
I don't think it's something to be ashamed of. I mean, you know, I was on my own since I was 16 years old. My yeah. parents sent me here to America, you know, from Israel. And I had to pretty much be on my own, too.
Wow.
I had to look out for myself, although they did give me support and all that stuff, you know. But at the same time, it's like to find your friends, to find romance.
A whole
to,
home.
To
yeah.
find your place, you
yeah,
know. I mean,
yeah.
16, I was still in high school, for crying out loud.
You're still a baby when you're 16.
Right,
yeah.
right. So yeah, so, but, so I can relate to people that grew up, you know, yeah. feeling like, hey, it's me against the world, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah. to this day I feel like that mm-hmm. sometimes, you mm-hmm. know, even though I have kids, I've been married twice and all that stuff, you know, but so it really depends, really, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, my parents, like, my dad loved me very much. He had his own demons, of course, we all do, but my mom loved me, but it was yeah, it felt kind of like just me, and I don't know, almost felt like, you know, some kids take care of their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it
well,
felt
you were
like.
You were the parent.
Yeah.
yeah. That makes sense.
And that sucks. Yeah, yeah. that's yeah. a lot of responsibility to take.
Yeah, but my mom and I are very close now. We get along great.
That's good.
She moved 3 hours away, which is definitely helpful to the relationship, I think. Because now I can miss her, you know.
Yeah.
That's true.
So, yeah, yeah.
And your dad, what kind of relationship?
He passed a while ago in 2006.
And were you guys close, though?
We were.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, I was a daddy's girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, but That's he, cool. you know, yeah.
I
mean, this is where her humor comes from, though.
Yeah.
Because she has, I mean, to be honest, that's when you have dark spots and
oh,
you
yeah.
have hard
Absolutely.
Times. I grew up in a very spoiled kind of way, but my mom was very, very ill. So I had my own demons yeah. to deal with. And in some ways, that's I parented true. Her because she was very, very
you
sick.
You have to.
Right. So yeah. that's where my, like, I have a lot of sick things I think about, like, that are funny. So, yeah, yeah. comics usually have a fucked up background. Do you
yeah.
know what I mean?
But because, don't we all know,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's just, I think you guys, like, focus on it and amplify it.
And probably we question it and think about it. Yeah.
I think that comedy is tragedy plus time. So it's kind of like that's why I like to write about darker things and things that make people uncomfortable, because it's like I'm trying to shed light on such a terrible thing. I'm trying to, you laugh about things that are terrible. At least I do. You know, that's how you get through
that's how you
it.
Go, that's how you move
yeah,
past it.
Yeah, that's how you move past it is you look at it, you say, okay, well, that's fucked up, and then you laugh about it because that's
right.
what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm studying Buddhism, and my teacher, Pema Chodron, was saying humor can help a lot when you're stuck in a situation with Buddhism and you're meditating. And you can even say to yourself, well, this is going terribly. I mean, and laugh
yeah.
at yourself. Humor tends to move things that are stuck really
yeah.
well. It lubricates it a little bit
right.
faster.
Yeah.
yeah.
Now, who says that? Then?
Pema. She's my teacher.
Pema. Oh,
she
I
doesn't
see.
Know
okay.
who I am.
I wonder what she would say about this fucking owner here, the landlord.
Listen, you want to know what she'd say?
Because I'm like, so distracted. I want like, because I can totally picture, I mean, he's got a face that you want to punch. Okay, you really do. And so I can imagine what happened there. I mean, I am distracted. I totally distracted you from this. And I digress, I know. But it's like I'm thinking, I know exactly what happened. He came in, wanted to park. He saw your car. He's going to Casey. Who is this? Casey probably says, I don't know. You know, maybe they just parked when I went. He may have gone to the bathroom or whatever, you know. When you showed up, and because you know, had he been there at that moment, there wouldn't be this thing. But the owner comes there, he sees this, and he's like, yeah, let's get a toad. What, you know. So it's
this
like
is
that's
what Pema
the
would
kind
say.
Of attitude.
Right, so this is what Pema would say. And it's not easy, but she would say, that guy is actually your teacher for the
right,
day.
Right, I know.
Which is bullshit,
that's
and I'm
they
trying
say,
to make
right?
it work. But it really is, and what you do is you don't hide away from what you're feeling now, which is just like anger and annoyance and frustration. You want to punch him.
Right.
You don't go away from that feeling. Right. You just explore what that feeling is, what the color is, what
I
is
see.
It? What's,
wow.
What is it in your stomach?
Yeah.
Is it in
the
your
color's
chest?
Red.
Yeah. yeah.
The shape is my fist.
Okay. Is it hot or cold? You're hot. Yeah,
oh, it's hot.
Yeah, it's hot.
Yeah, it's definitely hot.
But that's what I get on. I have a lot of road rage, especially if someone sneaks up and wants to get in.
Right.
And Pema talks about that. She's like, it's bourgeois suffering, but it's suffering. Or you plan a whole trip to Europe and you get a middle seat when you had paid extra and you lose your mind.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's when you really start to meditate and things start shifting. But it's not easy.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to have road rage all the time. But when you think about it now, think about it. What are they really doing? They're, in a second, they're not even going to think about it anymore. Okay, when you switch lanes, you don't think about it. So if you cut it in front of someone, you may think about it for a few seconds, but then you move on. It's not like you're going to sit there for hours and say, oh, I wish I hadn't changed lane.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, you see, you're making
what's the
a
point?
Big
right.
deal out of it when they don't even know you're mad.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the point?
Right.
You know, so it's just understand they're trying to get into the traffic. You probably would do the same thing.
Or they're a huge asshole. And they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But who cares? It doesn't really affect you.
Exactly.
Except for
you know?
That moment. And if you can learn to breathe through that moment and go past it without holding onto the storyline of it,
right.
then you've become more of a spiritual warrior. But this is not easy.
Yeah. But exactly. You know, I mean, but if you see they're about to cause an accident and stuff, you go, what the hell's going on? You know, you get pissed. But at the same time, again, you know, everybody's trying to do the same thing.
But it's like the civil rights movement she was talking about, like Martin Luther King, when they practiced nonviolence. Like, they'd have people spitting in their face. And they were trained in sort of a Buddhist way of non-reacting. Don't listen to the storyline. Just stay in the moment. I mean, imagine someone not just towing your truck, but spitting in your face and not reacting.
Right.
So that's at the height of when you can get there. I mean, I'm nowhere close to that.
Yeah, right?
But that's where you can – that's the option. That's the goal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, Martin Luther King really was, in a way, a Buddhist about it. If they would, they'd take dogs, they'd take fire hoses, and they'd still not react. And that's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Can you explain to me how 46 minutes have gone by so fast? This is the fastest show ever, I got to admit to you. 9 years. This seems like, I mean, we haven't even covered anything with you yet.
Good time is a good time.
What are we going to do? Maybe stay another hour or something.
Right? Right.
But you'll definitely have to come back.
I would love to.
Can we talk about your grandpa?
Oh, of course.
Okay. She is a very famous grandpa.
Really?
Yes.
Let's see. Samantha Hale.
Yes.
The same last name?
Yes.
Yes. Are we waiting for you to figure it out?
I think so.
I guess, but...
It sounded like he was like, okay, last name. It was like charades, last name, this,
yeah,
three
no,
words.
No.
Sounds like this.
Sounds like...
We were waiting for me to figure it out, but no, I can't.
Clue.
Go ahead.
I'll give you a clue.
Yeah.
He was on the original Lost.
Good one.
On the original Lost.
Back in 1964.
Oh, I don't know.
When it was called... Tori.
Gilligan's Island. Her grandfather's the skipper.
The skipper.
Alan Hale.
Of course, Alan Hale.
Yes.
Wow, that's your grandpa.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's very cool.
Yeah,
that's
that cool?
extremely cool.
I thought I'd end on that.
Yeah, that's extremely cool.
It's my dad's dad.
Now I'm going to sing the Gilligan song all day. Why did you do this
you
to
should.
Me?
You should. I love it.
How cool is that?
Isn't that very cool?
Were you ever, I mean, was he at the height of his career when you were a kid? Or
so
was that before, after?
I was 7 when he passed away. But I was the first grandchild, so I was the favorite.
Yes.
So I do have memories of him. You know, I remember. But yeah, I mean, this was, Gilligan's Island was in 64, mm-hmm. but he worked up until he was unable to physically work, until he got up into his 80s, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, he was on ALF, for crying out loud.
Wow.
Right. You know, he did so many guest spots. And Love Boat, you know.
That's true. I remember him. I love that.
Was he the skipper on that? That would be great.
No, he was actually a bad guy, which I loved. And the, like, because he was so rarely a bad guy.
Right, he's always the happy guy.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. And he always more or less played a similar character, right? Like maybe because that's how he is in real life, right?
That was.
This, like, happy guy.
Very that. I keep waiting for somebody to give me some fucking
dirt. Yeah.
Somebody give me some shit to talk, you know. But no, every time I meet someone that's Manuel, he was the kindest man. He was so lovely. And he used to have a restaurant down in La Cienega called Alan Hale's Lobster Barrel. And there were so many people there who were eating, but of course wanted to meet him. And he would walk around in his hat and take pictures with every single one of them. Like, he got nothing done. The restaurant wound up closing, you know. But I've heard nothing but incredible stories about him.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's Do you remember people coming up to him on the street as a little kid? Or do you remember knowing he was different?
No, I don't. I don't know. I think, I mean, as a 7-year-old.
Yeah, you don't really know.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, I saw, like, the memorabilia in the house, and I saw pictures and things like that. But I don't know if I really knew until I was in elementary school. Because as my dad got older, he looked just like him. Oh, he started getting more and more like him physically. And so people used to come up to me, is that the skipper dropping you off?
What?
I'd be like, no, that'd be weird because she's dead. But, you know, but so that's when it started hitting me. And then I would go home every day and Channel 11 Fox used to play Gilligan's Island.
I remember watching Gilligan's Island.
Like 3 o'clock or something. Every day when I got home from school, I would watch it.
That's awesome. You got to see him all the time.
Yeah, I'm super grateful and lucky for that. Wow. I mean, and my dad sounded just like him too. They had kind of a similar voice. So whenever I see my grandpa on television, which it's still on, it's on my DVR right now, which is insane to me. I can kind of hear and remember my dad and him at the same time. Which
that's so lucky.
Yeah, I'm very grateful. There you grateful.
Go. But you know what, Samantha? You're a fascinating person on your own.
Thank you.
So we're happy you're here, I'm sure. Was it like a surprise for you? Or did you know?
I didn't know because I wanted Sam when I had left a sub. She's going to be my perfect sub whenever if I have to leave.
Yes,
she's
absolutely.
So good.
Count
she's
me
so
in.
Good
absolutely.
On the radio. But and then I saw that she was on and I was like, yay! I love her. I just think she's great.
Awesome. We're gonna make
but it was a surprise. You didn't know till yesterday, right?
No, I didn't
right?
know till yesterday.
You didn't know?
No.
No, I didn't tell
and
her.
And then you posted and I was like, surprise. Yes! No, it's the greatest. Because you want to champion those that you really believe in and you want to crush those that you hate.
Right.
So Buddhist.
So it's almost like we did a surprise party for Tori.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm all it was like behind the scenes.
A surprise,
you know?
Your car's going to get towed.
Your friends are getting together, yeah.
I was so scared to go downstairs.
I would have run for that.
No, I mean, look, I'm coming down with you.
Okay, good.
Kiss my ass.
All right.
Piece of shit.
All right.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, there you go. But next time you'll know. Just don't park. And that's what I say to everybody, because we have people coming here all the time. People park behind people and block other people. And I'm like, look, when I come to a parking lot, if there's nothing free, if I don't know where to park, I don't park.
Right, you don't. But it was just a nice open spot without it being blocked.
Right, no.
In case it was
and plus, look, it's our building.
Right,
it's not
so
like
I thought
a place
it right.
You don't know.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And he wasn't there at the moment.
Right. I'm so sorry, everyone.
But that's okay. No, this is
it all
cool.
And
you
see, it's okay.
Yeah, because your friend was here. We were able to talk, and I was able to give the background story for why you had to run downstairs.
And by the way, I ran down all four, and then I was like, Casey. And he was like, what? I'm like, just ran. Like, I need to exercise. I'm very out of breath. I took the elevator up.
Yeah, can you imagine coming back up on foot?
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, we had to do this for 4 weeks here when they were fixing the elevator.
Oh, man.
4 weeks it was down. I had to go up and down about probably 10 times a day.
Oh, man.
Because I like to take breaks and stuff, so I go downstairs, come upstairs. But you know what? My legs were, like, so tight.
Yeah, my ass felt good. My ass felt better.
Right?
Yeah.
Not bad.
Anyway, Samantha Hale, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You're amazing. Tell people how they can find you, get a hold of you, see you perform, and help me make a living, for crying out loud.
Fantastic. You can find me on all the social media, Twitter and Instagram, at The Samantha Hale, and Facebook as well. And I'm actually building a website now. So
bravo.
Well, I know. I'm like, I
are people still
good.
Building websites?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I have a website.
Media,
oh, yeah.
It seems like.
For a comic, you kind of have to have your own space. And I think any agent or anybody will say, what's your website? And it's almost implied that you have one.
Okay, so it is still important.
Very much.
I'm building a new one right now. The old one was a little dated.
They did.
Awesome.
But go to Ruthless People, Mickey's at WeHo.
Yeah, every Monday, 7 p.m. in West Hollywood at Mickey's West Hollywood.
It's free, guys.
It's free.
And it's hilarious.
And Tori's on it. She's one of my regulars.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Listen, we got to leave, but you know what? Someone's calling in. There's no show right after us. Let's see what the hell.
Is it the owner?
Oh, my God. No. Yeah.
Good morning. Can we help you, please? Hello? Okay. Oh. I figured they were going to fucking waste our time. Every time I eat.
You guys, he could have been the one. I mean, could we call him back?
Yeah.
It's Brooks.
It's Brooks. I'm here. I'm still with
your
star.
Oh,
he would be the last person to listen. And besides, he can kiss my ass, like I said.
That's hey-o. Right. That's
you
right.
Know? There you go. He can take all his parking and everything because, let me tell you, once the lease is over here, the relationship is over with this right? piece of shit. You know?
So anyway, you're saying it's a match.
It's a match.
So
it's
you're not swiping right.
Right.
Yeah. So, Sam, already today we'll plan for you to come back. Okay?
I love that.
Please.
You have an open invitation on the show. So
fabulous.
Anytime
fabulous.
Tori, thank you as always.
Anytime,
you
I
made
love.
It here without your husband. I'm like extremely grateful. And appreciative.
I might go to CVS after.
There you
go. Do you want me to go with you?
Maybe. Okay. Such a pussy.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.